You're listening to the Music Manumit podcast for July 19th, 2011. Learn more at musicmanumit.com. Hi, and welcome to another Music Manumit. I'm Tom, and finally with me is Doug.
Guess what, Tom?
What?
Class is in session because the professor is here.
Oh, yeah.
Man, he was just waiting to say that, wasn't he?
I really was.
Oh, man, that's funny. I've
been waiting for 20 minutes, Tom.
Yes. Okay, so let me give you, now, to put you guys in on the story as well, as the other people that are listening to this now. We've been trying to get Skype working. I don't know what changes from time to time, but I will just turn on Skype, and then all of a sudden nobody can hear me. Like, I can hear myself through my speakers and my headphone, and everything else is fine, but then I do the Skype test call, which, by the way, they need to give you an option to not have to listen to that intro voice every time, all right? Because I have to sit there and wait and wait and wait, and then it goes, and then I have to go through the whole process over and over again while I try different sound cards, different channels that I got on my mixer, etc. So finally, I realized that there's another tab on my sound card, and it's a USB mic for my webcam. So right now I'm holding my webcam up to my mouth so you guys can hear me while I'm talking into the mic so we can record the show.
That's quality.
Yeah. It sounds pretty decent. I had this idea for Skype a while ago.
Yeah.
Where it would like function.
Where it would work?
Like consistently, and they just don't, like, I don't know why they don't do that at all.
Because you're a madman. I mean, seriously.
Yeah, no.
Look at how much I've learned to be resourceful, to be, to learn the inner workings of my sound card, and, well, I guess not learn, but to experiment with the inner workings of my sound card, because I didn't get it to work, at least the way that it's supposed to. So, and I think I'm a better man because of it. So thank you, Skype. Thank you for doing that for me.
Tom, I mean, this happens all the time. Do you really think you're a better man because of it?
No, I don't. And I really want to know why this does this.
Like, the persevere, I can see that. But, like, every time. It's like if you fast for a week. And you come out of it and you have some, like, clarity and something. But if you stop eating together altogether, you will die. Like, small quantity Skype, you know?
Well, this really is the only time that I use Skype, so it is small quantities, I guess. It's just a crash course in small quantities. It's like I have been in the desert for weeks, and then I went to a buffet and ate everything I could, like, in the period of an hour.
Okay, this is totally random, on the subject of buffets. Have either of you seen the Butterfield diet?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
No.
Okay, I'm gonna have to shoot you guys this link as soon as I can find it. But we can continue to actually talk about relevant things.
You would think.
Yeah. So, that wasn't hard to find.
Oh. You Googled it?
Yeah, I did. It's on YouTube.
Google. That's that thing with the plus, right?
Yeah, you were explaining. You were explaining to us how, or to me, I guess. I mean, Tom might have heard you because it was his mic that wasn't working. But
that's true.
How you're bad with the internet?
Yeah. I'm really bad at it. I ever since I moved into my new apartment, which was almost it'll be a month ago tomorrow. They make these claims of having free internet, and I suppose that's true, but they block pretty much everything except Skype, as we're doing this now, and I think that's it. GChat won't work. FTP, any, like, if I wanted to work from home, that's not happening. YouTube works, Hulu works, but, like, every time I go to, like, send an email through Gmail, it just sticks it as a draft, as though I'm, like, in offline mode. but I'm definitely not. It's anyway, I try to send the emails. I can't get the emails out. I get notifications about emails. I get emails about notifications. I get text messages about the emails that I've been notified about via Facebook on, like, other, I'm gonna throw up. I hate it. Can they make it where it's just like, hey, good morning, here's your this, and you should take care of this.
Truthfully, I will say that
I just, it's like,
well, I would say that you are good at the internet, because it sounds like you're pretty gosh darn plugged in for someone who can't receive his emails.
I hate it, though. I have it in my. I'm on my laptop right now, but just in case this internet fails, I have another one in my pocket. It's just, you know, like if I needed to Skype on my phone, I could. It might melt because Skype, for some reason, makes Android phones incredibly hot. But I just
I can tell you what that reason is. It's because the processor is going out of
cranking.
Have you ever looked at the at the processor of your computer when Skype is running? Because it ain't, you know, the Arctic on a regular computer either.
Yeah. What I'm at 22% CPU usage, and I'm on an i7.
Wow.
So, wow, that's... I mean, the Skype is the only thing running, so...
Yeah. I'm at 55% CPU and 50% CPU on both of my cores. So I guess that means I'm 50% Jeez. CPU. Now, I may have a less fast computer, but regardless, it's kind of ridiculous.
Yes.
Oh yeah. Anyway. Well, I'm talking into a webcam and recording on an audio recorder externally for my computer because it won't record from the sound card itself while I'm using it.
Yeah.
Boom.
There's a whole lot of ridiculousness. Tom, I think this is a good time for your tool of the week, if you have one, because we've been like on the, even though we're going to continue to use Skype, it's sort of like our anti-tool of the week. But do you have an actual tool of the week? Cue the segue music that we don't have.
Yeah, and also you talked it up and I don't really have one. I can't think of anything right now. I didn't make a note of one.
Well, there's G+.
There is G+, but I thought, you know, that just seemed so expected. But it's not good for bands yet, and that's usually what the tool of the week is it's something useful for a band. Whereas right now, if you create a personal account, or not a personal account, a business account or a branded account, like a like Facebook page type thing, they will actually delete your account.
Huh. I didn't even know you could, like, I mean, so I guess you can't do that.
Right. Like if you go there and create a new Gmail account and like do it with your name on a regular Gmail account and try and start a Google Plus thing with your, like, say your band or something like that, or do it as an entity, they will actually remove your account. But they say the reason they're doing that is because within the next month or so they're going to be launching something for brands which and businesses and stuff, which I think that's how they're going to tie it into the whole Google Apps account thing. I think if you have a Google Apps account,
that's pretty, because
those
could be sweet.
Yeah, because those are already branded with a web address, and also they just launched the whole, which I found ironic at first, but now it makes sense, where they launched the whole thing where it's seamless between the Google Apps now is basically exactly the same as regular Google accounts. You can sign into them the same way. Like, you actually have to do a setting in your app settings to go and say, log me in as two people so you can access both accounts. Otherwise, if you go to gmail.com and it will want, you can log in as your Google Apps account and it will work. You don't have to go to your special address anymore that you had set up with your subdomain. So, and then at first I was like, that's dumb. And then on top of it, I was like, and most people, or businesses at least, pay for a Google Apps account. They'll get a paid account and they're not allowed to get this new Google Plus thing. And it's like, so you're giving it to the people for free and the people who actually pay aren't getting it yet. But apparently that's the whole thing, is it seems like they're going to work that into the businesses and you're going to get branded Google Plus and all that kind of crap.
I have a domain account just through Dreamhost, and I thought, hey, I'll check it out. You know, I'll get a nice fancy email and everything. The only thing that I really like about it, other than my fancy domain name, email address, is that I get to pick a picture for my, like, instead where the G normally is in Gmail.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so that's kind of sweet.
That
I mean, I
could
have done that with, like, Grease Monkey if I wanted to, but but I don't know if, yeah, I guess, I was thinking if you printed something with Grease Monkey, if the Grease Monkey stuff would actually show on the printout, but it probably does.
Yeah, but then you'd have to use Firefox.
Well, there's a Grease Monkey for Chrome, I think. But, I mean, I do use Firefox, but...
I know.
But I think there's a Grease Monkey for Chrome as well. But anyway, yeah, we're off topic again.
Not at all. That was a tool thing, sort of.
Yeah, Grease Monkey, if your favorite band's website sucks, then you can make it look better with Grease Monkey. It's not really a tool for bands, though. Unless the people in the bands have favorite bands, and those bands' websites are terrible.
I lost you on that one.
Yeah, it was stupid. Don't worry about it. All right. let's move on. Music shows, July 4th.
Oh,
Tom.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, without I have lots of things to say. Why don't you start first? Actually, I don't have lots of things to say. I'm just stalling while I open my browser.
Is it Firefox?
No, actually, it's Chromium. I feel like you scoffed at me.
No, not scoffing. That's an awe, like it's a
adorable
golden pup. Yes.
Oh, here. Okay, actually, I'm going to interrupt again. I don't know what made me think of this. Have any of you seen the Did It Really Happen website? That it's a movie that got posted recently about a rarely seen that was aired for the first time, rarely seen Too Close for Comfort episode where. Monroe, are you guys familiar with the show Too Close for Comfort?
No.
Ted Knight.
Not.
Okay. God, then it's going to be lost on you. It was brilliant because there was.
I know who Ted Knight is, though.
Yes. Most people do, whether it be from Caddyshack or, you know, Mary Tyler Moore Show or whatever. But basically what it was is it was this stupid 80s sitcom that he was on, and the character was like this, you know, idiot who lived next door who would come in and just annoy them. Well, there's an episode that they did where he was kidnapped and raped by two women. And it only aired once. And the whole thing was, is this guy had a dream where he made a movie called Did It Really Happen? Because he woke up because he had flashes of a nightmare of that episode happening. And he's like, so he's calling everybody he knows, like going, do you remember that show? Did that ever really happen? He would describe it the way I just did. They'd be like, no, you're an idiot. What the hell are you talking about? Why would they put that on that show? And finally, it aired recently, like in the past week. That's what sparked the idea of it. And I saw it online, and it's, I remember the episode, and it's really, really stupid. And, I mean, obviously. But the way that they do it is it's like he comes, and he's like, he's been kidnapped. He comes back from being kidnapped all night and hijacked by a group of gigantic biker women who basically had their way with him all night. And then, right after he says that, canned laughter. What? Huh? It's like, so how did you make laughter after that whole thing? He was attacked.
What was the name of this show?
It was called Too Close for Comfort.
Okay.
It's on YouTube. The dude put it on YouTube when it finally aired. But they have, like, in the DVD box sets and everything, like, it's been not put together with it. It only aired one time ever in 1985. And the episode was called... what was it? For every guy, there's two girls or something like that. It was like that was the... I'm sorry. I just...
It could be worse. For every two girls, there's a cup or something like that.
That was way before that. In 1985, they didn't...
Right.
Well, yeah, they probably did have that. You just weren't able to share it and show your grandmother
they
online.
They didn't have cups.
it wasn't on ARPANET yet.
No, they had cups. They had Smurf memorabilia cups that you could get from McDonald's.
With which you would fill with
poo.
You know, I'm not gonna.
I did it for you. Don't worry.
Thank you.
Anyway, okay.
Right. I'm waiting for how this relates that to Creative Commons Music.
It doesn't at all. I told you, I was stalling while I tried to open my browser. So I have my browser open. And now
your browser must be slow as shit if it took that long to open.
No, it didn't, because then I was talking and I was going off on one of my patented rants. So
the Ted Knight rants. Yes. That should be a new segment.
And now for another one of our Ted Knight rants. That would have theme music.
Is stuff like falling? Because it sounds like...
Yeah, it sounded like you dropped something just then.
Yeah.
No. I dropped one headphone, fell out. I'm just trying to go 6 feet to my refrigerator, which is on the other side of my apartment, which I don't know if that gives you any idea as to how big my apartment is.
Well,
I'm going to procure a 7 up here.
Ah. Sound effects.
Well, yeah, no kidding. It's like we got a Foley artist down here.
And that's, I have a whole album that's actually almost dedicated to that. So
do you really? Which one is that?
Yeah, Scientific Method Volume 2. Almost every track on there features something that you could amount to a day in the life of Mike L. So like Trip Home is all me driving my car. My backpack is quite literally everything that's in my backpack.
Huh.
I love Foley stuff.
You mean you were in the sense that you used the items, or you actually like put something in your backpack and then went and did a bunch of stuff and recorded it?
Well, like with my backpack, I took, because at the school I was going to, they had great big ISO booths, like really, really big ones in their studio.
Hmm. Aren't those called rooms?
Yeah, pretty much. But they had, you know, the soundproofing and everything and the doors that are made for it.
All right.
And I took a Zoom H4 and plugged a C414 condenser mic into it and had it point directly down at the ground. And right underneath the microphone, my buddy John and I just took my backpack and opened it up and just took everything out and started tearing paper and making sounds with like pencils on paper and the zipper. And we just tried to make sounds with absolutely everything that we had, even belches.
Yeah.
At one point. And if you listen to the track, My Backpack, you can hear someone belch on the downbeat of like, it's, I don't know. It was pretty fun.
That sounds like fun. Yeah. I love that kind of shit.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
So just in case anybody is, you know, you mentioned Scientific Method and people probably know that some of your music is on Jamendo. That album is actually not on Jamendo.
It is on SoundCloud.
Oh, it's on SoundCloud?
In its entirety, yes.
How are you liking the SoundCloud these days? That's an interesting thing to talk about.
I think SoundCloud is quite brilliant. I signed up for a solo account, which is €79 for a year.
Okay.
And what you get from it is fantastic. Unlimited downloads for one. That's a huge thing for me.
Yeah.
But also the you can customize widgets to stick pretty much anywhere. And I'm working on a new version of my site that I like started from scratch. But it's all WordPress.
Okay.
So like I have it set up in like the pages sort of thing, and then like one of the pages of the blog, and then all the other pages can hold static content more or less. But one of the pages is like a music page, and I was able to style a SoundCloud widget so that it's the dimensions of an album. So like when you first get onto the site, you just see like the album covers, but then when you mouse over it, you realize that it's actually a great big SoundCloud widget for each specific album.
That's cool.
And I don't have to host any of it. And SoundCloud's pretty awesome, because like if you click play on one of the tracks, scroll down to like one of the other albums, click play there, it'll stop the other one.
So that they don't.
Yeah, it's really quite fantastic. And the fact that you can arrange things into sets. So if you go to like upload like a whole folder of music, it'll automatically put it into a set, and you assign like one picture to it, and that'll be the album cover. And you can give information in bulk rather than just like going through and doing it, you know, one by one. And I'm able to upload music in large quantities and artwork and give all the necessary information faster than I think any other service I've ever used. A lot faster than Jamendo, that's for sure.
So you've been messing around with the API a little bit then?
Just a smidge. Just like not even the API really. Just like the widget and right. I'm a styling guy. I don't like
No, I am too. I think we talked about that last time is that we're both front end guys. Like working knowledge yes. of things when we look at it we're like, "Oh, I know what that is."
Yeah.
Would you like me to make it? No, I can't do that. You know, that sort of thing.
Or at least I don't want to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's I like SoundCloud a lot, and I do have to say the one thing that I do hate is when it goes, oh, the downloads have been reached for something. But the one thing,
yeah.
the one thing I would have to say, though, is I'm a firm believer in not paying for anything. So that's my one. I like SoundCloud, but on the other end, too, it's like, you know, I try to milk the free account as much as I can. I basically, yeah. What I pay for is I pay for my domain name, and that's only because I have to. Otherwise, I wouldn't. Yeah. You know, I mean, that's like the only thing I pay for. And so I like SoundCloud for that type of stuff, but I use it very minimal. But I have seen a lot of really cool things. Like, and I know this isn't Creative Commons based, but it is music and band based. But a lot of, especially when it first started really taking off, a lot of bands started using the API and doing really cool things with their websites, like the Foo Fighters when their album came out. They had a really cool landing, like people were creating their own landing pages that was specifically for the album. And like the Foo Fighters one had a thing where the player was at the top for the song, and then they had this interactive, like kind of like what you were talking about, using the album-like widget. But it was when you clicked on it, they did some JavaScript or AVI or whatever. That, you know, they you know crossed their arms and blinked their eyes, and magic happened. And and it was a thing where you clicked, and then what it would do is one would fold out from under the other, and then show like the information of the song, and then you could switch through and all this other type of garbage. And then a couple other bands did the same. that's right, other kinds of garbage. That's technical speak. Go to school, kids. So and there are a couple other bands that did that too. I want to say the Beastie Boys did one. That and on top of it, the fact that they've integrated with Tumblr, which, okay, I've been using Tumblr for like ever to the point where like I even stopped using it for a while. And now all of a sudden it's huge again and everybody's trying to build stuff for it. And SoundCloud now integrates with Tumblr. But the funny thing is Tumblr no longer aggregates. They want to be a post directly from here. You can't import your Flickr stream or your Twitter stream or any of that other stuff you used to be able to import anymore automatically. You have to post directly with their widget.
I know that you started trying to use Tumblr right at the very beginning before we started using Google Docs. And I did not understand what the hell was going on Tumblr. Like, I was like, how do I post things?
Yeah, you're kind of like the crotchety old man on the internet when we try to do stuff from time to time. I have a hard time convincing you of things that the hip young kids are doing, which is funny because you're younger than I am. So
I was all about Google Docs.
That's true. You were. You were.
And wasn't I pushing us to try to use Wave, or did you push me to do that?
I pushed you to do it, and then they canceled it. Yeah. Which
was I was
awesome.
Doing it, though. I was okay with Wave.
Once I figured out what the hell it was, basically it was just, yeah, basically what it was is it was just a better way to do an email thread. So you didn't have to pile through emails or go through all the history of the emails. You just made it like its own little project. And then you talk back and forth on that and you could keep track and it would let you do it in order. So you didn't have to scroll through and go, where the hell did he say that out of like 20 emails? Because you do email a lot. We email back and forth a lot because we never fully see everything that we communicate to each other through all the different ways that we communicate. So we still have to email back and forth a lot and go.
Occasionally.
Yeah, occasionally, I guess. That's true. Where are we going with this?
I don't know.
About SoundCloud.
Back when I said that you know that album wasn't on Jamendo, my segue was going to be let's talk about an album that is on Jamendo.
Oh, okay.
And you have a new album, although it's not that new anymore. It was a soundtrack that was released in May, I think.
Yeah, I think I released it. I released it around then, yeah.
This says, okay, so I'm not really sure the difference between this, but it says release, well, I guess this, the publish is probably Jamendo, but it says release April 17th, published May 8th. So I don't know what that means, but that's what Jamendo said. So
sounds strange.
Yes. Well, that's not important. The point is that April-ish, May-ish.
Yeah.
So it was this year. This is the first thing that's, you know, titled the original soundtrack, but it is the first, you know, soundtrack that you've done. Or that you've contributed to?
No. Okay. No. It is the first... It is the most significant to date, by far and away. I'm sorry. This whole release date thing really has me confused now, and I want to look... I'm sorry, this is going to bother me. I need to just... Because I put it up on SoundCloud... Oh, thanks, SoundCloud. 3 months ago. That really narrows it down.
Well, the post on your website is May 11th. And the post on Jamendo, where it says published, is May 8th. So what I'm guessing is that you put the like recording date or the finish date or something like that is April 17th, but then actually put it on the website on the 8th, and then got around to putting it on your website on the 11th. That's just a guess, but
it did take a few days to go through, because, like, you know, you got to put it up on Jamendo and then SoundCloud, and then putting it up on my site proper as it is now is like, it's not a CMS at all. Like, that's all hard coding. So,
oh really?
I had to go in and make the different size thumbnails, put in the player that's on there right now. You have to put in how many seconds each track is.
Ooh.
It's kind of obnoxious. So I had to do that stuff. But yeah, I don't know. I'm not gonna worry about it anymore. It's not important.
Working on a new one.
I don't know what I'm working on. Every time I go to do something, it's just like, oh well, this other thing comes up. At the moment, right now, my buddy Elliot, who goes by the name Ramova, and you can find him on Jamendo too. I convinced him to put his stuff up. Creative Commons. He's got a couple small releases up there. We're starting a project together, and it's going to be kind of promoted by Chicago Trax Records here in Chicago, which is not Creative Commons oriented, which is why I'm refraining from using the Professor Click name on it, because the Professor Click name will and always forever be, you know, Creative Commons, just because, I don't know, that's a whole nother story. But we're working on, it's like a 4-track EP. He does a track, I do a track. I'm bringing a track that I'm like, that was like halfway done, and then we're going to collaborate and finish it. And then he's doing the same thing. We're going to collaborate and finish one of his. And then we'll have a 4-track finished EP, and it'll be promoted by Chicago Trax Records, which is like a really, really, really old house label. I don't know. We'll see what happens. If nothing happens with it, then we'll just, you know, make it Creative Commons for sure.
Because
we don't know, like, what the legal whatevers are with that.
And it's not affiliated with Wax Trax out of Chicago?
No.
Okay.
No, not Wax Trax. Just like Trax, like Trax Records. T-R-A-X.
Okay. Yeah, what's with people in Chicago and not wanting to spell Trax properly?
I don't know. I think it was an 80s thing.
Maybe.
But yeah, and they've been around. I mean, they've been around a long, long time.
But, I mean, if they were... I mean, I wouldn't call the 80s a long, long time. So it's either not an 80s thing, or maybe they were ahead of the curve.
Well, for a niche electronic label like that, that's pretty long.
Okay, yeah, the 80s would have been the time for that.
Yeah, so like the fact that they're still around is impressive, sort of. Yeah. I mean, it's not like they're not like Capitol Records or something where like there's just some gigantic, omnipresent conglomerate with, I don't know.
Gene Simmons carrying a baton and patrolling the streets more than.
Yeah, that's actually. Are we gonna have the Gene Simmons segment again?
I let that be for a couple of weeks, and I just felt like that was the, shoehorn it in.
Yeah, and you did successfully.
No, but hey, this time
if you're watching his show, he is going through a hard time with his wife right now. Okay, so you leave him be.
All right.
I'm just kidding. My wife watches the show, and like, the reality show is going the way that all reality shows do, where like, they follow him around and know everything he does. So he did something she didn't approve of, and they fought about it. It's like, I guess it didn't occur to him that, the cameras that were standing in front of him might catch what he was doing. So, seriously, how does that happen on a freaking reality show? You got like 6 people following you all time. I don't know.
Yeah.
I always feel that way about the like nature shows too, because the guys always act like, they're like super close to the tigers and like, most people couldn't get this close and stuff. And it's like, there's another person carrying this gigantic piece of equipment right next to you. This tiger doesn't seem to be that concerned about that. I don't know. It's weird, I think. Sorry.
So there, we kind of brought Gene Simmons back into it.
Beautiful. I feel at peace now.
Do you?
Yeah. I would just leave it with the batons and not go on about it. But
why would he have a baton?
Because he's got like good people that are file sharing.
I can't believe I was questioning why would he have a baton when I thought about it, and it's like in my mind I picture him wearing giant metal dragon boots and an axe that's actually a guitar. So I questioned the baton, like, that's crazy.
Why does he have that?
What the hell is he doing with the baton? I mean, the makeup and everything, it just doesn't fit.
Yeah, I'm imagining him like his face all painted, but he's got on this like, English cop hat, the like pointy sort of looking hats, and he's got a baton.
The tit that they call it.
Yeah, I guess.
That's what the British comedies call it. They say you have that big tit on your head.
Hmm.
At least that's what I've seen. Yeah, because it's got a little nipple on it too. The little cop hats.
Like a bobby? Like, yes. An English bobby?
Yes. Yes. And haven't you seen it? Like, I want to say it was like The Young Ones or something, where Neil had to be a cop, and Vivian says to him like, "What? Why do you have that tit on your head?" And he's like, "I'm here to hassle you. I'm the police, or I'm the fuzz, or something like that. I don't remember." Yeah, because he had to buy money, or he had to get money because he thought Vivian was pregnant, and he had to support him. Only it just turned out that Vivian was holding in gas, and he gave birth to a giant fart at the end of the episode.
You watch some weird TV, Tom.
And then he was kidnapped by two biker ladies.
Tying it all together.
That's what I do.
Yeah.
Well, and tit.
Yes.
So that is.
Yes.
So that's.
So, the soundtrack.
Yes.
What's the deal with it? It was with some guy from Grand Valley State, which is not in Chicago. So I'm wondering how that all worked out.
Grand what?
Right? No, I thought the Athens Theory of Everything. This is Professor of Communication Studies Corey Anton at Grand Valley State University. Maybe that's just...
Oh, that's a response video. That's the response, or a response video.
Okay. Well, what's the original? Because I clearly haven't seen it.
It's really a heady kind of, but then again, I suck at knowledge.
Worded very well.
Yeah. For anybody who has any kind of vested interest in like WoW videos, which is to say World of Warcraft videos. This guy named Athene from Belgium had a pretty substantial following on YouTube, and he just does this. He has this like persona where he's, you know, got a thick Dutch accent, and he's just a total prick. Like, he's just this arrogant, shut in. He's like an indoor, you know, kid, but like he's super angry.
He's got this video, the main video, if I'm looking at Athene's Winds channels, he's outside, or he's got some serious electrical bill for some indoor lighting. Green one or the green. Other. Yeah, but the light is on his face too. But
Photoshop. Yeah.
All right. Anyway, continue. He lives in a basement and has never seen the sun. Continue with the story.
He's got a pretty big following, and just off of that persona, and he also like got into like online poker, and then started doing like actual like poker tournaments, and did really, 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 really well for himself playing poker, and he would have like pigtails and goofy glass. Like, he's a crazy guy. He's a totally crazy guy, and it's like totally all comedic. But on the other side of this, there's like two sides to this coin, in that he has this like YouTube persona, but then on the other side, he's a big player in the iPower project, which is. It's a social networking kind of tool and environment for people to, you know, like post and for forums and blogs and, you know, stuff like that. But the whole center of it is like self-development, which, given what I just told you about him, I know that might sound completely left field, but if you look at the critical mass of Athene and Athenism, and all of his buddies and what they all do, it actually makes perfect sense. And so this guy, Athene, took a break from being a comedic, you know, online game-playing asshole, and started doing some really serious research on, like, metaphysics and neuroscience, and basically wrote a paper. His like director of photography / editor Reese took over and did all the video stuff, and so Athene did all the like research, and then Reese did like the narration and all the visuals and stuff, and then they made a documentary out of his findings and his theory of everything, and it's really, really visually pleasing. Everything that's narrated, there's also text that goes along with it, so it's not quite subtitled. There are times where the subtitles are actually worked into the visuals, and it's all really, really, really stimulating. Kind of tough to follow for me, but like I said, I suck at knowledge. Reese, the guy who does the editing, had found my stuff at least a year ago. And had tweeted like about me a few times, and they've got a big following. So whenever he would be like, you know, blah blah blah, at Professor Click, check out this stuff. It's, you know, relatively mediocre. And then I'd go to my like Google Analytics and be like, oh, I've had like 1,000 hits today that I would usually not have, and they're all like all over the world in like 80 something countries. Actually, I think it's 83. I think that's all Google Analytics can report from. But anyway, we got to be buddies, and I would like send him a message and be like, hey man, thanks for all that. And then I figured out, you know, what they did. We kind of got to be friends, and then they go to do this documentary, and they're like, hey, we need some music for it. Would you want to do the soundtrack? And I was like, yeah. And so it was during the semester. So like I'm working and I've got school going on. And so, like, life right there is just a complete ball of insanity. But I would find a time where I would just sit down at my keyboard with my computer and just make, you know, just really ethereal, rhythmless, like, picture music just ambience and stuff like that. And I actually kind of got into a lot of that stuff a handful of years ago. Like I got into like Paul Lansky, a lot of Aphex Twins ambient stuff. I was a big fan of. And then like, you know, Kruder and Dorfmeister and Tosca and like all those guys. And so I had a bit of a history to draw from, and I just kept making more and more and more and more of this stuff. Like it got to a point where I was like a factory. Like once a week I would be sending them like, you know, 15 to 20 minutes of just, you know, not ambient noise, but like I would just have like these really slow progressions and stuff. And it was a lot of fun because it's really outside of what I would usually do. Like, 'cause you know, I like stuff that has like drums. Like I focus, you know, really, really heavily on drums all the time, and you know, lots of melody, goofy whatevers, and like funk music and disco and this, that, and the other. But this was like a total change of pace, and it went really well. I learned a lot about Paul stretching, and I did a lot of field recording, and I used like I just got to experiment a lot and just play around. And what I have published is 90 minutes of it, and that's not even everything that I had. It was just everything that I felt like would do all of that body of work any justice. Reese, when he went to go use the music for the documentary, actually did a lot of editing and some sound design himself, using what I sent him as like source material. So if you watch the documentary, you'll hear some things that sound familiar, but then if you like watch the documentary versus listening to the soundtrack, you'll hear some things that sound familiar. You'll hear some things that don't, but it's all like all the music really is me at the end of the day, but it's also Reese like bending and stretching it so as to fit the film, because the music that I did was pre-production, not post. So I didn't score it. I just did the music for it. So he technically scored it. So that's the difference. But I do encourage anybody who has, you know, if you've listened to the album at all, like even like 10, 15 minutes of it, if you like it, watch the documentary. It took me a few times like watching it to really understand it, but it's really incredible, really well done. It got a lot of negative feedback at first just because people were pissed. They thought that it was like a troll, and then they find out that it's not a troll at all. And a lot of other people, you know, claiming to be scientists and claiming to be metaphysicists and stuff like that, saying that like he doesn't have a theory or whatever. But even if any of that's true, it's still definitely worth a watch. I had a crap load of fun working with those guys and making all the music, and I owe them a lot. And it's a great documentary. It's called Athene's Theory of Everything. So there's that, and I'm out of breath.
Did you say they think he's a troll?
No, they.
That's what I was wondering. Like,
no, they thought.
I was like, wait,
they,
did you just
like,
start talking about Lord of the Rings or something? What's going on here?
No. They tried to like hype it up. They tried to hype up the documentary because they were calling it Project ASC. ASC stood for Athene Scientific Cataclysm, and they thought it was a joke. Like most of his following, most of like the WoW kids and stuff, like they seriously thought it was a joke. And when they found out that it wasn't, a lot of them were pissed just from that. And then a lot of other people were just, you know, just like fighting the claims and just, you know, because just like any other, I'm not going to say scientific breakthrough, because I don't know, you know, right. I'm not the guy to ask about that, but like anytime somebody says something with any amount of evidence that kind of shakes the foundation, a lot of people get upset. That is extremely tried and true throughout, you know, all of scientific history. Really, if you come up with a new idea, everyone's going to try and shoot it down. So that's what happened at first. But yeah, if you go and watch it now, most of the feedback is, a vast majority of the feedback is really positive. And that video that you were describing, the guy from, I can't remember what the school was, but I watched that.
The reason why I said that is because it's got, you know, the title of this thing on YouTube is Athene's Theory of Everything. And, you know, it's uploaded by him. And then the very first thing in the title, like in of the caption, is Professor of Communication Studies. Like that's like, you know, the caption of the.
Yeah, if you collapse the description, that's a link to another YouTube video.
Right.
And it's actually just a load of, you know, different links, and it's basically like the bibliography here.
I feel like you could put that at the end, and it would be less confusing. But whatever.
Yeah.
Now, when you said you were doing field recording, what were you using for field recording, and how were you getting that stuff done? I'm just out of curiosity.
And this could be the tool, although you've probably already gone over this one. It's the Zoom H4. The handy recorder thing. They came out with a new one called the H4N.
Right.
I'm sure it's like, you know, better battery life, might not even use, you know, like disposable batteries. It could have its own, like lithium battery or, you know, rechargeable, whatever. But the unit that I have, I bought when it came out, or at least shortly after it came out, like probably like 4 or 5 years ago. It was $300 at the time, but it's got a pair of stereo XY coincident condenser mics on the front of it.
Okay.
So it records in full stereo, up to 96K, 24-bit, and then it goes down to 48, 44, 1, and then 16-bit also. And then it'll also record in MP3, anywhere from, I believe, 96 all the way up to 320. Mm-hmm. It's got two inputs on the bottom that double as both quarter-inch and XLR. Independent gain. Yeah, independent gain for each of those. Independent gain for the mics up front. It's got a backlit LCD screen, runs on two AA batteries. It's also a four-track recorder with built-in DSP, like effects and stuff. So it's like anything from auto-wah to distortion, reverb, delay, phaser, flanger, all, you know, chorus, all that stuff. Chromatic tuner, also doubles as a like USB audio I/O. Like interface,
right?
So you can use that for like you can use it to podcast. I've used it for Skype before. It's actually perfect for that. And then you can also use it as a sound card for like a DAW.
Is this thing the size of a car?
No, it's smaller. It's about the size of an original Game Boy.
Okay.
Smaller than that.
Because I've seen pictures of it, but the more you're explaining, I'm like, I feel like it's just got stuff upon stuff just, you know, pounded into it. I'm just picturing it like bigger and bigger. Yeah. I've seen, because when I was looking around for stuff, I mean, I ultimately went price-wise, but there were a lot of cool things out there, and that was one that I was looking at. And the other one was one that I was like, screw it, I'm going to pay the money to get it. And then I realized when I went to go buy it, it's like, oh, this is a prototype and they haven't released it yet. Alesis is putting out their own, or it was their comeback to the Zune, or not the Zune, sorry, thing, Flipcam. That's what I meant to say. It was their comeback to the Flipcam. This was before Flipcam went under. You know, because Christmas had just come by and everybody and their brother bought a Flipcam and then nobody bought them anymore. So,
this thing, it's like, it's got the microphones on it, plus it records video, right?
Yeah, and it does, like, high-def video, but it's got, like, that's the one thing where it's, like, actually, on a flip cam, I gotta say, I am pretty impressed with the microphone, the condenser mic that's in it, and the fact that when you're recording something really loud, like a show or a practice, it's not just explosion noises, like if you try to do that with an iPhone. The condenser mic actually works. But then I saw this thing, and it's like, yeah, you get full-on stereo sound. It's got built-in gain control and, like, all that other kind of crazy crap that you would expect to have. So I was like, ooh, I'm going to get that. That way I don't have to get another flip cam. And then I realized that the thing was quickly put together for a show that they were trying to, you know, like a trade show, so they could get people to invest in it.
Yeah.
So it wasn't ever released. And I was like, damn it. So it's really just kind of a pipe dream. And it still hasn't been released. And I don't know if it will be now that there's no competition. So
yeah,
I don't know. It's hard to say, but I think that
I do remember. I do remember seeing like posters and stuff for it at Guitar Center, and being like, oh, that's, you know, that seems pretty cool. But yeah, I did not know that was just kind of nixed altogether.
I think it really had a lot to do with Flipcam going under. Or at least not going under, but being killed by Cisco, because Cisco is like, why are we making stuff for individuals? We're supposed to make stuff for, you know, entire buildings. Why are we just doing like, here, buy a camera, you know?
Yeah. Buy a camera that does the same thing that your phone does about half as well. Yeah.
Right. So anyway, yeah, so I was just curious as to how you did that. And then also, I mean, I was going to ask before, but then you explained that as to when you were doing it, like, if you had been able to see the movie and knew what you were writing for, but then you said, like, you were writing it, but then he was also extending it with the movie itself as it was being done, because you said you did it in pre, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, so that answered my other question.
Yeah, I do... Honestly, when it comes down to like quality, I do of course prefer to do it post, and I know how to do it post, and it's a experience in making music that is so much different than I originally thought it was. Like the first time I sat down to do it, I had a friend of mine who had done. Just like a real short film. It was like maybe 6-7 minutes long. It was called Murder, and you can find it on YouTube actually.
Search for Murder on YouTube and it'll pop right up.
Murder. Like... If you search Murder and Professor Click, okay. You'll get that. I was going to
say, you might want to narrow it down a little.
No. But it's like a short like slasher kind of thing. The cool part was though. Which he was just like, oh, you know, it needs music, blah, blah, blah. Do you think you can do this? And I was like, okay. There's no dialogue.
Oh, yeah.
At all. It's like they don't, like their mouths don't move or anything. Like they don't, there's no talking at all. So
you really had to drive the suspense with the music.
Yeah. It was all music. Yeah. The music was the dialogue. So I did it in one day. I sat down. And played just about, not everything, but I'd say about 70% of it live. I just like watched it like, you know, a few times and then just turned on a piano sound in Reason and just hit play on the movie and record and just watched it. And as I was watching it, I was just playing as though I was like, you know, like a piano player, like in an old movie theater, but I was just like coming up with it as it went along. And it was a one take Jake. And then like, there's like a chase scene where I was like, okay, well this is going to need like some, you know, break beaty kind of, you know, heavier stuff. So then I got into like, you know, like some programming and stuff, but it was only for like a couple minutes. It was really, really simple. But yeah, to be able to do it in post, if I could have done it in post, it would have taken me a lot longer, and it probably would have pissed him off. But it would have been a lot of fun.
See, but, I used to do a similar thing like you did with post when I was a kid. Like I had my dad's guitar, and apparently everything that I watched really, really needed the bass line to "Crazy Train" by Ozzy Osbourne on it. Because so, that was all I knew how to play when I was that young. But I used to sit in front of the TV and try and find places where I could put that in, where like some there'd be a pause or there wasn't anything there, and I'd just go dum 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 dum. Sorry, you explaining that story reminded me of that. Sorry.
That's awesome. Oh man.
So think of that next time somebody has you do some post production for something. Make sure you fit a Crazy Train in there somewhere.
I will. That sounds fair.
So, funny story. I found it humorous anyway. Well, while you guys were talking about that, I was looking up the Google Analytics because he had, because Mike said that, you know, he got like 80 countries or whatever.
I like it. Doug just starts surfing the net while we're trying to talk to you. What the hell?
I'm not surfing the net. This is pertinent information because I was trying to see like how awesome 80 countries was. And then I was trying to figure out, like, you can look by different continents, and so there's two subcontinents we haven't had any listeners from, Tom, so we gotta figure that out later. But anyway, yeah, so I was about to post them. Yeah, Middle Africa and Central Asia. We haven't had any visitors from.
Oh,
but
I have a funny story for that. Funnier than whatever you're leading up to, but go ahead.
No, it's not possible. actually, probably is funnier. But so I'm all like mousing around and like clicking, and this, it's kind of hard to see the different shades of green and white and whatever on this analytics. And so I'm all trying to figure out what the hell this country is or set of countries that just is not any color. Like, I can't mouse over it at all. And then eventually I figure out that it's the Caspian.
North Korea.
It's not a fucking country at all. And what's funny about this is like 5 minutes trying to figure this out. Yeah? I'm looking on like different views and I'm like, what the hell is that? I'm like, oh. Caspian Sea. That's so, yeah. Anyway, it's, you know, usually I don't care about all this analytic stuff and like sending people to the, you know, like I just don't have time to be bothered with all that. But I get started doing it, it's really interesting to see where people are coming to the show from. Like, I don't know. It's just fascinating.
Okay. Now, here, I have the way that you can get the two countries that you're saying we aren't getting. Because back in 2005, there was, you know, the heyday, the beginning of podcasting. I had done a lot of interviews on different podcasts for my band and stuff. And one of them was a podcast, very short-lived, but it was popular at the time. It was called the Two Men with Foreskin Podcast. Now.
Oh, wow.
So. And for some reason, I forget. Wow. Okay, but that's not even the half of it. So I forget what.
So is the half of it the two men with two foreskins? Is that
that? No, but there was something. There was another one. I had done another show, which was Extra Super Action Show or Extra Super Fun. It was some podcast that was named like Extra Super Action Fun Music Show or something. Some guy did a crazy name for it like that. So I had done two of those, and then I went to post a link to them on our website, and I was like, well, I'll just consolidate the two into one. So what I did is I titled the post Extra Super Foreskin Rewind, basically talking about a rewind of the podcast that I did. Well, I will tell you that Google searches for the word foreskin came from the weirdest places that you would imagine. Like tons of – okay, first of all, a lot of them from India, which I found really strange. And then, like, I started getting them from, like, all these really just smaller countries and, like, you know, in these weird sections of other countries and, like, just Google searches for the word foreskin. And apparently we were, like, the number two or number one search for it. If I guess if you had your parent controls on and didn't know it, because it's a completely different result if you have your parent controls off. But or your safe search controls off. But, yeah, so what we need to do is we need to do a post with the word foreskin in it. And then we will get a bunch of hits from the countries that we're missing, I believe.
I don't know, because I think foreskin debates are big in, like, the Middle East and such, and we've got that covered.
Do we?
So, yeah, so it's like...
we have foreskin debates covered, or we have that country covered?
We have that area of the world. We're talking about subcontinents, Tom, not countries.
Okay, sorry. I don't know so from geography.
Kazakhstan is one of the countries that we don't have, or is in Central Asia.
See, I always thought that was made up.
No, it's gigantic. Kazakhstan is gigantic, or maybe that's Uzbekistan. But anyway, Kazakhstan is real. One of them is just like massive. It's like almost as big as China. Right? Like, maybe not quite that big, but yeah, it's like as big as India, or at least on this map that like. You know the kind of map that makes Greenland look like it's the size of South America? You know that map?
Mm. Yeah.
No?
The bendy one?
It's like all flattened out, and so Greenland looks... But anyway, that makes one of these things look big. But like Kazakhstan and Uzbekistan are like pretty close to each other. I'm not sure which is which. But anyway, that area of the world, no one's managed to make it here. And then Central or Middle Africa, which has like... I think Sudan is in North Africa, so we've got that one covered,
Well, yeah, thanks to the one laptop per child program.
Yeah. Yes. What? But
because I was going to say, a lot of them, you don't know if they have computers or not. But I know that we did the whole one laptop per child thing. Like, a lot of that went to countries in Africa, right?
Right. Yeah. I think African countries is a legitimate way.
It seemed weird to me when I said it. I don't know why. It seemed like I was talking in Yoda speak, like I was saying it backwards.
You said countries, and you implied that they were African, like European countries.
Okay. Yeah. It just European felt wrong. Countries. I felt like I was saying something stupid that I would be called out for.
But well, that's because you're American and you're called out for saying stupid shit all the time. So that's why.
Wait, me personally,
and I do the same. No, like being American, I am faced with the same thing. It's you know, the whole Sarah Palin thing, thinking that Africa is
She's
a country.
She's technically American. She lives in Alaska, for crying out loud.
Which is like the a Canadian embassy.
Exactly. I consider her Canadian.
Sits in a corner.
I will say I am one of the few, or one of the many people who is oddly attracted to that woman. I don't know what it is. She's
super hot.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's an odd. I mean, like a lot of people
are. She's such a moron.
Yeah.
But I mean, still, you know, a couple of drinks in me. Maybe not even.
So Sudan is apparently part of Northern Africa, you know, in Google's thing. But the country formerly known as Zaire, which is now the Democratic Republic of Congo, and I think it's actually like the Congo as well as I think it's two countries now. But anyway,
it used to be the Congo.
What?
Wasn't it the Congo originally?
Amy, no. I'm sorry.
Nice.
Sorry. I had to say it.
I think there's two different countries, actually. Oh. Yeah, there's the Republic of Congo, and then there's the Democratic Republic of Congo. So I think
it's like
North Korea and South Korea, sort of. Like, they're not officially North Korea and South Korea. One of them's the Democratic Republic of Korea, and one of them's, like, the Republic of Korea.
Did you know that you can't see North Korea on Google Maps?
I'll buy that.
At all?
It's
just like a ocean.
You can see the country, like it's the line of the country is there, and it says North Korea. Yeah. But if you go to zoom in on it, you can't see anything with the infrastructure. You can't see roads, towns, anything.
Well, I mean,
none of it. It's
that's
just not
shocking.
Available.
Yeah, I mean, they're not
considering that you can see all of South Korea.
But I mean, no, not at all. That's not shocking. I mean, because South Korea are bitches, and I mean, North Korea is like China's bitch. So China can probably see it.
But well, you can see all of China.
But we're like kind of cool with China a little bit. It's like the brother thing. It's like.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like keep your friends close and your enemies closer sort of thing. But like,
well,
North Korea doesn't even like register on that. Like, they're so like not important.
Well, let me put it this way. You can see more on Google Maps or Google Earth of Antarctica than you can of Korea.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not shocked. I mean, because North Korea is like they have this, you know, psychotic dude in charge who's like
shady.
Yeah, but I mean, I knew that
he's shady. They're not shady. He's a scary man.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. When I think of him, I kind of think of like the old Egyptian rulers that were all like inbred and stuff, and just as you know, as far as history knows, just absolutely batshit insane. That's what I think this guy's problem is. But
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, like China is like all authoritarian and stuff, but they're capitalists. I mean, come on. They make all our shit, we buy it. I mean,
and then we get into debt from buying it with money we don't have. They buy the debt.
But North Korea is so insular. Like it the whole country is like Los Alamos or something, you know? Like it's just like locked down.
Yeah, or the Alamo, to which there is no basement.
Nice. Pee Wee Herman.
Yeah. Yes. Hey, thank you. Oh, man. I thought that was a swing and a miss for a second there.
I had no idea what the hell you're talking. I mean, I know that the Alamo is in Texas, but I don't know if the Alamo Dome is also in Texas.
And apparently how you know that you're in Texas is you yell out, the stars at night are big and bright, and then everybody claps and says, deep in the heart of Texas. Because that's what they do there. It's ingrained in their souls.
Interesting.
That's what is in the movie. I love the fact that we're making a reference. You have no clue what we're talking about. That's awesome. Okay, so I'm bored with geography. And I wanted to bring something up that I read in, a while ago. You know how we've talked about the whole, we talked about the Sonny Bono clause and the whole, like, you know, extending copyright to 30 years past the person's death and all that kind of garbage. I ran across an article recently where they, you know, because they changed it a while back and made it so that it's, what is the change of it? I'm trying to look it up right now, but they extended it. They amended that actual clause. And the reason.
We've got a graph, Tom.
We do have a graph somewhere, but I'm not there. But
graphs are official.
But there was an article that I read, and I don't know if this is tinfoil hat reporting or not, but if you search for such a thing, it kind of agrees with me on it. But the actual thing was extended and was originally created because, and this is what started it, and then they kind of lobbied other people to get in on it and go, hey, all of your stuff is going to go away, you know, and like scared them into doing it. But it was actually by Disney because the patent on Mickey Mouse of the original Mickey Mouse movie was about to wear out. It was about to end. Yeah. And they wanted to extend it. So that's why they lobbied for this cause. It was just an article I ran across. It was just a brief article that I saw.
Yeah.
What just happened?
I thought that was common knowledge, Tom.
Oh, okay. No, sorry. I was just all of a sudden something just like a crackling fire went.
Yeah. Mike is recording his next album, so okay. Just don't mind him.
I didn't know that was common knowledge. I saw a thing recently, and I was just like, oh, that makes a lot of sense with some of the things we talked about, and the fact that, you know, Disney being like some weird, like, happy on the outside, kind of evil and creepy on the inside sort of organization.
It's spooky, yeah.
Yeah. Like,
it's like they're gonna make a Scooby-Doo movie out of Disney, and the whole time it's going to be Old Man Disney, otherwise known as Walt Disney. they're gonna pull off the Mickey Mouse mask and they're gonna be like Old Man Disney. Yeah.
What was that
one? It's all gonna make sense.
There was like a Family Guy episode or something where Disney is actually hiding out in. Oh my god, I can't believe I'm bringing it full circle. In South Korea, where his severed head is still alive, being kept alive through, you know, the whole, you know,
cryogenics
or whatever it is. Yeah, the freezing your head thing, like the whole myth.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were keeping it alive, and then what they did is they unfroze his head, and he was attached to a giant spider robot monster, and he actually fed on the flesh and blood of small Korean boys that worked in the fields. Like, that's how he stayed alive, was that he had to eat small Korean boys and kill them. And one of them got away. It was that kid that came. Oh, that's what it was. The episode was that it was that kid that floated here on the raft, and the robot head or the robot of Walt Disney was trying to get him to come back because he is the small immigrant or the small Korean kid that got away that he was trying to kill and eat. And like, it was a vendetta.
Oh, Jesus,
that's... I think that if we ever, you know, like, you're the poet laureate and I'm the person who picks the poet laureate, as we discussed. But if we ever come up with the person who's doing PR, you're not going to be it. Because every time you tell a story, it makes it sound like it's the most god-awful thing. We're talking about, like, Family Guy, a show that people, like, watch all the time. And this, you're making it sound thing. Like it's...
This,
what?
This is a real thing. That's how it goes. That's I only report some as a season.
I know, but it's just like the way you, there's like no hint of like funniness, or maybe it's that it's too funny. It's like creepy, like.
It was creepy.
I don't know, like.
It was creepy. I mean, you got a freaking robot Walt Disney head running around.
Do you get this sense, Mike, that there's this certain amount of like, just.
I'm a victim to it, really. I fall prey to it because. I don't have the sense of objectivity that you do. Like, I can't see it for what it is. I feel like I'm being told a ghost story
That's what I'm talking about. It sounds like a ghost story. It doesn't sound like a story about. It's not like
we're talking about the evil of Disney.
I know, but it's like maybe it's just you're too good of a storyteller, Tom.
I am because I think I'm precious.
Great. It's not like you're saying this is what happened on. It's like it takes a life of its own. Like you start talking about Family Guy, but then it just turns into this like story where you're actually talking about Walt Disney eating kids. Like that's the sense that you bring, which is a great point to have. But I still feel like I'm just saying that.
I think I should write all the promos except for the fact that I hate typing.
If we're ever in like have to do, you know, there's ever a scandal and one of us has to sort of like,
I will spin the shit out of that story.
Doing that.
Oh God. Yeah. So anyway, I just wanted to ask if you knew that. The end.
You won. So I got a couple things that I want to discuss before we call it quits here, because I mean, it's been an hour and 10 minutes, which is fine, but usually we try to wrap it up somewhere around here. There was something else I was gonna say about click stuff, I thought, but I'll come back to that. We started at the beginning talking about the music shows, and my dad apparently finally got around to listening to the show for Father's Day, or he just didn't bother to tell me anything if he listened to it before. But before we get too far off from that, I wanted to read his short little feedback. He's quite concise. I certainly did not get the concise gene from him. But anyway, some good variety. The Mozart Concerto, that was the second movement, is the most famous clarinet concerto ever written, although it was originally for the basic clarinet and had to be revised after Mozart's death to be played on a regular A clarinet. So there you go. That's his brief lesson on the Mozart Concerto, which I don't remember what the guy's name who played that is. I guess I got this open. Just click on it. Jason Weinberger in the WCFSO. They've got
a scene.
Huh?
Sorry, I was gonna say Chinua Achebe, but then that's the guy who wrote Things Fall Apart. So go ahead.
Well, anyway, they've released a few things, like four things, but they're all pretty long. On Free Music Archive, you know, and this is one thing that we talked about a while back, is that, you know, a lot of classical music is in the public domain, but the arrangements are not. So this guy has, they're not in the public domain, it's CCBY, but at least it's out there, and BY is pretty, I mean, if you can't attribute a person, I mean, even if it's under public domain, you're kind of being a dick. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, but anyway, so that was one of my things that I wanted to mention. And the other thing that I wanted to mention that I don't want to put off is the Jmendo Awards. Have you paid any
yes.
to that, Mr. Click or Dr. Click?
I suppose. Yes. Oh, absolutely. I have been shamelessly. Shoehorning, you said shoehorning earlier. I think that is a much more politically correct way of saying what it is I was about to say. Yeah, I've been putting that on the Facebook. the Facebook and the Twitter, and I even sent my first Jmendo mass message, which apparently you can do. And it reached like 1,700 people, which I was really surprised by. But then I found out that you can only send one of those messages every 15 days.
Yes.
Nice. Which I think is actually pretty smart. That makes perfect sense.
And was it hard for you to find? Because we've talked about that before. Because if you just try to send it as like sending to users, there's a cutoff. But then there's the way that, like, how did you come across finding that message? Like, or unless you change something.
They updated the UI a lot.
Okay.
Like a lot. Like the user UI, like a whole ton. Like the front end, when you just go to, you know, Jamendo.com, it looks the same, but I can tell that they're like in this weird, you know, purgatory at the moment where they're like trying to implement their new layout, but still like, because like, how do you update or at least give Jamendo a facelift of that caliber while not having it down for like a week?
Right. And this is the UI problems that you're talking about are from the last update. They tried to do building on top of the way it was before that. You know, it was like they kind of halfway did it, and then they stopped because they started having legal troubles, and now like apparently they're back at it again, which is good, because I mean, I liked it when they switched it, but it was like a lot of stuff where it's like, why is this like this? Why do I have to click on three different things to get to this thing? You know, that sort of stuff.
But yeah, now it's a lot better, and just when I go to like my admin panel, it's right there on the left, right to your fans, right to your fans blog and widgets, and then underneath that is like all of like the account management stuff, like payments, the safe creative uses of your music, all that stuff, and it's great. It's looking good.
Oh, cool! I haven't checked that out recently. Nice.
I
remembered what the other thing was that I said there was something that was related specifically to Click. And that was, I don't think we actually ever really did much introduction. We sort of just went right in. And I don't know if it's even worth
going back
and saying this.
Introducing who we're talking to at the end of the show.
Yeah, yeah. maybe we should wait. Maybe we should wait until the very end. And then, which we're probably getting pretty close to, and wrap that up. But let me just say on the note of the Jamendo Awards, you didn't put it on your website.
No.
Which, I mean, isn't that like where most people are going to go to get information?
You know, no.
Okay.
As it turns out, no. It's still, I mean, on my site now, like, I like somewhere between like 50 and 100 hits a day. But to be honest, Facebook is really, that's really where it happens. And if it's not Facebook, it's, Jamendo, and you're already there. So yeah, I get way, way, way more activity on Jamendo than all other, outlets combined. But like a pretty wide margin. But I didn't put it. My site as it is now is like really outdated.
Yeah, I was gonna say the latest show that you have up on your website is from May 1st, 2010. So if people are listening to this in the future, that's well over a year ago.
Yeah, that's the shows tab is a real joke at this point. Yeah, this site is just. Functionally, it's still fine. Like you can still access everything, but I'm in the process of working on my new site. Hell, you know what? Let's have some fun right here at the end of the show. If you go to dev.professorclick.com, you can see what I've been doing.
Nice.
And it's still available. This now means that I have to launch this site very soon. And
I feel like you wanted to give yourself a kick in the ass and make yourself do it by announcing that.
Yes. So this will make me do that. And there's still some styling that needs to be done.
Now you do have the Jamendo Awards up on there, which is pretty hilarious.
Yes.
The vote.
Yeah, well, that's just my Twitter feed, which gets taken.
Because it's got a picture of the Jamendo, you know, it's got the Jamendo Awards logo there.
Well, that's Feedburner for you.
No, I think this is, no, there's no, there's nothing here except the...
No, it is his Facebook and Twitter feeds.
Oh, you know what? Yeah.
I bet it's because I have Facebook and Twitter blocked that I can't get to those.
God, you are so old man on the internet. Because
all it says to me, all it says here is Professor Click vote, and then like 100 times it says vote, and then it says Jamendo vote. That's all I see. I don't see any.
That's a post. That's a post. That's a post. That is legitimately a post.
You just have two posts. That's it.
No, it's no, no, no. Reason. One is Facebook and one is Twitter.
No, no, no. It's the same post. It's just that the link description that I put is vote, 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 vote. And the post itself is also. So it's a little confusing, but it's taking it from Facebook. So that's why it's got the two layers to it. It's not from Twitter. It's from Facebook.
I was thinking
but if
it was two separate things, yeah.
No, no. It's just Facebook. But if I post from Twitter, it goes both ways. So
that's nice that it actually expands the post that you're linking to, though. I like that.
Yes.
I like Unless that. It looks really like good. This, in which case it's not good.
Well, what? No, it's the computer drone telling you to vote. You must now vote.
No. Yeah, please vote.
I already voted. Actually, at this point, you can't vote unless you're in one of the last five. So I don't know when the last five are supposed to come out. But
The voting ended today. Ended today, and anytime I made a post, I mean, like, it'll be great, good to have people vote for me for sure. I mean, it's great, but I think what's most important is that people vote for anybody,
right?
like vote for anyone, like vote for someone, like because that's. You know, I'd love to see who's going to win. As far as, like, other acts, I am worried about... I'm worried that I will be beat by Bertie Cox, Biner Pilot, Triad. There's some pretty big, pretty seriously huge names on Jamendo there. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, Triad. I don't know how huge they are because I don't do a lot of electronic music, but I see their name a lot.
Yeah. Triad's incredibly big.
They should have song voting too. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, they'll. I imagine they'll see how it goes.
Yeah, they'll see how it goes. Yeah. I would say.
They probably got an ass load of hits from this because people are just going and voting like every day. So
tit,
yeah.
I mean, so let's go back and introduce him. And all I want to do is say the reason that this has been not so much of most of it actually ended up being interviewish. But
I've been winging it.
Yeah, well, but I mean, our interviews are kind of like that.
No, I know.
But I mean, my point is that we were talking about the new soundtrack and the website and all Click stuff and not just like our normal, well, this happened in the world of Creative Commons music, which is great. I didn't know how that was going to go, if we were going to have enough to talk about, doing that. But like last time, and this is basically all I wanted to say in this regard, but like last time when we actually did do, a straight on our normal list of 12 questions or whatever type of interview, that was back in March. And so we said then we were going to have Click back on to talk about some of his dealings because he had some great stories and pretty good stories this time too.
The Athena's theory of everything, that's actually one of the stories. So that's perfectly relevant.
Yes. Exactly.
So yeah.
You're gonna see on the dev version of your site that the video is posted in the my advice section,
which is unstyled at the moment, hideously. But yeah,
you
it's
the,
there.
The
that's
black,
the
title on black background isn't supposed to be like that.
No. No. All the way to the left, and on a
I didn't
1080p
even see
monitor,
that.
That's ridiculous.
Because
I had originally
I'm
had the style,
Doug. That's how I saw it.
Well, I mean, I'm not questioning you seeing it. I just didn't see it.
I had styled this page at my office because, like, I got off work and I was like, I'm on a roll. I'm going to, work on my site a little bit. And then I styled the blog page. came home and opened up Notepad++, and I had, you know, like my local style sheet on my computer, like open, and then I did some stuff and saved over it. So I completely undid everything that I did. It's my blog page, so I was kind of pissed. Kind of pissed about that.
Nice.
Oh, well. Yeah, yeah, it's almost done. It's going to be really, really, really simple. But I gotta get some links in there and some styling. It's just about done now.
You don't have your it doesn't look like you have your trademark head anywhere on here.
If you go to hi, I'm Mike Els.
Okay, yeah, in the background.
There you go. There you go. But I don't you know, I think I can probably stand to give that a break. Well, that, and it's also the background for Internet Plus Me. So
is it? Well, yeah, but you can't really see that.
You sound so disappointed. Yeah.
Well,
I just said it. I'm getting kind of. It's not my business card, and I don't even know why I have business cards. I don't give them to anybody.
You've seen that commercial where there's like the old guy DJing?
I know what you're talking about.
And it's like the first impressions are key. That one?
Yeah.
No.
I can't. See, I haven't watched TV.
Okay.
See,
proper.
What's wrong with people? Really, I've referenced really, like four obscure, strange things. I know what he's talking about.
Yeah.
Because I know my TV. So, okay. So I had one last
thing. I don't think you should give it a rest. I think that's your, like, thing. Maybe you should do something with it, but, like, not entirely retire.
Do what I want to. You can't stop me.
I'm just a suggestion. This is the part of the show, Tom, every week where I tell people how they should do things.
That's true. That's true. You do that
should be our new segment. Doug tells you how the Doug. I don't know. We got to think of a catchy name, but that can be our new segment.
I feel like that segment would take over the show. So I had one last thing. Now that I actually have you on the show, one last thing I wanted to ask you about. Now, I harassed you over email about a month or so ago, and okay, you say you're not good with the internet, or you're a bad internet guy. So I figure since I got you here, I'll bug you about it. I had emailed you basically about a collaboration idea, and about just basically saying
yes,
and saying like take something and just like do whatever the fuck with it, and like maybe even the opposite way too, because we've just recently done. We did a local show here where other Madison bands played other Madison band songs. And it was awesome. It was great. We basically just, we didn't even know the lyrics of the song. We made it up. We listened to the song once that we did, and we wrote down what we thought he was saying, which turns out when I met them, it was like, I was way off. But, you know, it's like, it sounds like there's one.
It was like, you're all singing about like anarchy, and it turns out that they're like staunch Maoists or something.
It was like random words, like you know how when, you know the song, like if you listen to Jimi Hendrix and some people think that it's he says excuse me while I kiss this guy,
yeah,
and it was stuff like that where only like mine was like I want to say it was like there were things like the word luggage was in it and it's like nowhere near the word luggage, like I was saying the pretext luggage arm fall was the word that the lyric that we did I think, and that was not the lyric obviously. But that was the whole thing. It's like, okay, we're doing a remix. So what we did, and we redid, because the song we did was actually like this really like fast, like sort of driving punk metal song. And we turned it into Movement in Stereo by the Cars is what it sounds like now. Or Movement in Stereo, is that? The scene where in Fast Times at Ridgemont High where she gets out of the pool in slow motion, the music that's playing in the background during that, you know what I'm talking about?
No,
God,
but that's okay. Continue.
Culture is wasted on you people. Anyway, it's this. It's a car song, and it's a cool song when you hear it, and you'll know what I mean. But we turned it into that, and it was fun because we just basically like generally listened to the song. It was like, okay, there's the melody, and then we kind of went from there. It was awesome, and I was thinking after we put it, it was on a collaboration CD. It's on our website too. But after we did that, I was like, wait, I was like, who could we do that with around here? And the closest person I know is you. So I was like, well, hell, he does remixes and shit like that, and he knows how to do that stuff. And I think we had even talked about some of the remixes you did last time we talked to you. So I sent you an email and did the whole thing where I threatened you and said, if you don't do it, you're dead to me or something like that. I don't know. It was funny.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now, and it says, if you don't want to do it, I totally am hunting you down. And then it goes, it's something about a whisk. I don't know. Somehow your handwriting gets really bad, even though it's typed. Yeah. So.
But yeah, so I wanted to. And
the
I
OCR is didn't work very well.
I mean, I said on it that I was just like, it was just an idea, and if you don't want to do it, that's awesome. And then I think my response was, but you will be dead to me.
No. I've got this this project that I'm doing right now with my buddy Elliot. That we have a deadline actually, mm-hmm. which is good because then that means that there's an end in sight. And that is August 1. So I believe post August 1, my music schedule becomes significantly more free, albeit the new album that I'm working on. And that has no end in sight, and it's had no end in sight for a while. So yeah, I'll do a remix. You got some stems? You have some stems? Do you have any stems?
What we're doing?
How many times can you say stems?
Stems?
No, just pure buds.
Tit?
No stems, okay. Just buds. No seeds either. No, we've got some things, and what it is really is like we're doing this new, like, we're actually writing remotely. We've been doing a lot of stuff. Like, I'm setting up my home studio because the guy who runs the studio that we actually work in, he's been really busy lately, and it's like I realized, wow, we depend a lot on him for recording things. So I started setting up my own thing. We're learning how to work remotely. I've been getting tracks back and forth with my bass player. And that's when I was like, well, shit, you know, do some collaboration and I want to branch out. And that's the whole thing. So, I'll try and get some stuff together and some new things that we're working on and see if you want to fuck around with it. And seriously, do whatever, you know.
If you want extra, you know, drums or if you need a whatever's, I mean, I'm a music student, so I know my music songs.
Cool.
Yes.
Cool, because I make it up as I go along, so, you know, you'll have to work with that.
Yeah, that's the point.
Cool.
Yeah, I know. That's the whole point.
Well, then I'll continue to occasionally bother you from time to time and say, hey, you know, what do you think?
And I'm going to get better. I'm going to get better at this internet thing. And this, I mean, it's not going away anytime soon.
It's not the fad that people thought it was, like the new Coke flavor. Back in the 80s. It wasn't just
Coke
like a new thing. Yes. And then they did classic Coke, and now it's just Coke again because they ignored it. Or like Google Buzz, where it's like, just ignore that thing we did. This is sticking around this time.
Yeah.
But Google Buzz is that, Tom. With G+.
No.
Because they got the little Buzz tab.
I know. But that's because they have to keep it. Like, they have to keep Orchid. Like, nobody uses Orchid except they don't even use it in the countries that they're keeping it around for anymore. Which is why they did.
I mean, they don't have to. They killed Wave. They've killed other stuff.
That's because it wasn't. Nobody was relying on it anywhere. Anyway, okay. I don't want to start a new subject. We were trying to wind down here.
I think this is back to an old subject. Very briefly, is that Desmond Tutu that you sent the picture of? Who the hell is that?
No, who that's is that? Chinua Achebe. He wrote Things Fall Apart.
Right.
Okay.
It's kind of a bummer book if you've ever read it.
I've just kept it open on my desktop because I like the fact that it looks like he's judging me.
He very much is.
I'm sitting here and I'm talking as an idiot, and he's just looking at me like, "What are you saying?"
Yes.
But we've gotten people from Nigeria. He's probably actually listened to our show.
I guarantee he has.
Yeah, south of there. I mean, all intellectual people clearly have.
That's what I hear from them.
Maybe if we talk to him, he can you know, talk to the people that live south of him, and he can hook us up. I don't know.
Convince them to visit. Yeah.
Yeah, to go to our
site. It's good.
Cool. Yeah, that is a pretty sweet picture. I think.
Yeah. All right.
Is that
great.
A Creative Commons picture by chance?
No.
That's unfortunate, because then Tom would.
No, it's not.
Yeah. Now I can't put it on the site, goddammit. Well, I can find one. I'm sure he's on Wikipedia somewhere.
Yeah. Just find it.
All right, well, I'm calling it.
All right.
No, truthfully, right. My hand's getting tired from holding on to the webcam.
I forgot you were doing that.
Yeah, I've been holding it up this whole time, so I'm starting to get sick of it.
That is quite fair, Tom.
Yeah. Yeah. So, thank you very much again, Professor Click, for being on the show.
Yeah.
And, thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure to have you on. You're a nice guy to talk to, and I like the fact that you put up with us. So,
Yeah, and I will talk to you and Dan about the 23rd.
Later. Yes. Yeah. We shall have a blue moon. I hope you like blue moon, because that's for those listening. The Professor Click beer of choice. If you ever happen to see me at a show and you want to buy me a beer, blue moon with an orange in it, please.
Really?
Yes, that is my favorite beer.
Hmm. All right then.
By far away. Yeah, Doug. We'll have a blue moon, perhaps a cheeseburger, an American cheeseburger.
Well, I won't be having that.
Well, even still.
You can watch him have a cheeseburger, Doug.
Yeah, I will watch you have a cheeseburger, and I will eat something that's not made of cow carcass.
Okay.
Picky bastards.
That's some French. That's fine. That's fine. I dated a vegetarian for a few years.
So. It's easy if you're a vegetarian dating a vegetarian. I don't know otherwise how difficult that would be.
When you're able to strike an understanding,
yeah,
it's fine. I won't eat meat around you.
I dated a vegetarian when I wasn't a vegetarian, and it wasn't a problem. But
I love tofu. I love tofu.
So. Tofu is not good by itself. When people like think, "Oh, tofu is terrible," it's because you didn't cook it with good stuff.
Yeah. No. It's like
it's disgusting by itself.
Yeah,
I just had this conversation with someone like 2 days ago.
Yeah, well,
that's really weird.
It's a gelatinous, gooey
tofu trending topic on the Twitter feed of Tom's life.
It is.
It sounds like an interesting feed.
I say hashtag before it. So I was eating hashtag tofu.
You could just make a hashtag like symbol, which kind of would look like an air traffic controller. Like you go. Both hands down and then both hands across.
No, I got it. You know how people do air quotes?
Yeah.
I'm going to make hashtag hashtag gestures, like air hashtag. So you take the two fingers and
put them across
from each other. So that's going to be my new thing instead of air quotes.
Yeah.
Damn,
I'm doing
so
it right now.
Do
hashtag,
it.
You heard it first.
Yep.
That's God, what I'm doing. You're good.
Mm. Man.
God.
It sounds like you're like in stereo right now, like in one and then the other, and I don't know, are you just like shaking your head violently as you make those sounds?
I think you were just hearing both of us.
Oh, was I? Okay, maybe I couldn't tell the difference. It sounded pretty amazing.
Yep, so you heard it here. From now on, no air quotes, hashtags, because they're ironic.
Hashtag. Yep. But you gotta like slap it. You gotta like slap it down so it's audible.
I like that. I like that. Yeah, you gotta make it a thing. Yeah.
Is that like the internet gang symbol? You know, like you had the like West Side. Now it's like hashtag.
That's true, because I mean, if you're if you're on StatusNet or if you're on Twitter, StatusNet, it's an exclamation point.
No. The exclamation mark is for groups. You can
still people use it as because it translates as a hashtag on Twitter.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's my thing. All right, cool. So we wrap that up, everybody. Hashtags. That's the air quote. And this
hashtags.
Hashtags. This has been another Music Manumit at musicmanumit.com.